If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, dark spirits take over a home and everyone who lives in it. How exactly do they survive? That's today on this week's kid-friendly edition of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. And quite possibly,
can you do this?
The undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
I was just asking Harper if she wanted to take over the intro right now, but she's like, I don't want to today. Okay, that's fine. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or, of course, if you like the program, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus ghost stories, all of our advanced episodes of the show, all of our archive, all of it's commercial free, and all of it helps keep the show on the air. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to quite literally what we've created, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever made. And that's something you can check off of your list when it's career day at school, which that would be a really weird thing to, I think, put on my little sheet when they ask, you know, what do your parents do? My dad has the largest audio archive of ghost stories in the world.
And I help out with it.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be like, we should call your father and talk to him about it. Yep, that's true. And this is, are you okay? Yep, it's okay. We're making a good living and we're living our best life.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying it. Yeah. I really am. This is very fun coming here on the air with you.
Well, I'm glad you're here, honey, for another weekend edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. We'll try and get back into the swing of things. I know we've been out of it in the last couple of weeks. We've been going through a lot of stuff here at the farm and just trying to get things into place of what our new normal is. But me and Harp, we're together 24/7. So we're going to start getting back onto the train of ghost stories. And you are interested in doing more and more with this show.
Yes, I am.
So you're going to probably start to see Harp more and more, of course, as you get older and it's age appropriate to do things with this show. But yeah, and eventually she'll take over and I'll just show up every once in a while when I'm 80. And Harp will be the main host at some point.
Yeah.
So get used to it now, kids. But you got about at least, I would say, 30, 40 years with me left before you are the main host. But at that point, it's all yours. Have fun.
Yeah.
We'll be in the same studio. Same stuff.
Same office.
All the paneling will be rotting away by that point.
I'll replace it with the same thing.
You're probably right. It probably won't be that different at that point.
Yeah, because like, if this does start rotting away, I'm just going to get like a new sheet of it to just put up on the walls because it's a nice paneling.
In our office, we literally did old school like paneling, like Burt Reynolds' basement paneling, but it's kind of like white
wood.
Yeah, white wood, a whitewashed wood. It's kind of birch looking almost. It's not birch, but it's kind of in that that family. But it's one of those things where it'll look very dated very soon. But we love it in here. It's just kind of the, it has the vibe of an old basement circa 1975.
It's our little clubhouse.
It is our clubhouse.
I can't wait for my treehouse.
Yeah, and you got one of those coming too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day here on the program. It starts out like this. Hi, guys. My name is Stephanie, and I am from San Diego. I hope this finds you well as we're reaching almost a year into the pandemic. I just recently found your podcast and decided to send some stories to you guys to see what you think about them. Well, for starters, I do not think I am sensitive to anything, but I know for sure my mom is, even if she does not think so. Her grandfather has a spiritual church in Mexico, and her grandmother used to read tarot cards. My mom is very Catholic and religious. To set the mood, I must start as early as I can. Remember things like this, which would be around the time I was in second grade. I was getting ready for school. I wore pink round glasses, and she called me over to the side of her bed and said, "Take care of your eyes today." Whatever. I went to school. Everything was fine until recess. I was on the playground when suddenly I felt a sharp pain above my eye and then just wet running down my face. Some punk kid threw a stone in the courtyard and it hit my glasses, but managed to split my eyebrow. My mother was hysterical, but she told me her late brother appeared to her in a dream. Not this first or last time, and kept pointing to my eyes. So when she woke, she told me that. Fast forward to some years later, we left San Diego. I was starting fifth grade and moved out north just before Los Angeles, and we had a party at her house. Some of my mom's family, who we really did not socialize with, came through. The day after the party, my parents had these two ceiling-high doors that opened into their bedroom. I was going into their room, and as I reached the door, I noticed the door had some strange texture on it. Some being such a bright child, I wiped it and tasted it. Salt. I called my mom over, and immediately she freaked out and got her handy-dandy holy water and sprinkled it all over the house. After that, we just had the craziest time. My mother got really depressed, lost much weight, that she could barely stand on her own. Her parents and uncle came to the States to help care for her. We also got a new house during this time and rented out the one we were in. I went into a crazy depression myself, locked myself in my room, trigger warning. I got so bad, I was self-harming. The new house was just that. New, brand new, like built from the ground up, but we were all downstairs. We could hear footsteps above the living room, which was my parents' bathroom since the whole house was carpeted. People thought we were joking until they came over. Be home alone and hear it. The house never felt heavy or dark. I wasn't afraid to eat cereal downstairs at 2:30 in the morning. I also suffer from insomnia, but that was just the start. Fast forward some years, I'm in high school and my mom started working overnights in a factory. Now, one day she was upstairs sleeping and my cousin and the children were staying with us and we were all downstairs. I hear my cousin gasp. I look towards the stairs and she comes to my mom. Pale as shit, barely able to walk. So we rush over. My cousin gets to her first and grabs her and immediately lets go. My mom's hands were ice cold. They looked almost yellow from lack of blood flow. She said she had dreamt a dark figure in the corner of the room, not my parents' room. She was sleeping in the room next to mine, and it was just mumbling things in a deep voice, and suddenly she felt cold and snapped out of her sleep. So some time passed, and it's now October. The first season of American Horror Stories was running, and I was watching the new episode in my room. My mom burst into my room and started talking about the earthquake and trying to protect me. She calmed me down enough to tell me what happened. Again, she was sleeping in the room next to mine. And she said the same dark figure was in the room saying stuff. But the part she remembers was when she screamed, "Now!" And the room started shaking. Which is when she ran out. I told her she needed to sleep. So I went with her to the next room. My bed was too small for the both of us. So we go to the sleep butt to butt. I don't know how long it was, but I woke up to her screaming and kicking me. So as I mentioned, I was facing away from her. So I reached my left hand behind me to shake her awake. when it stops midair and something forced it back to my side. And I try again and nothing. I can't scream. I can't move. I can't open my eyes. All the while, my mom's still freaking out. I tried with every ounce of strength to move when I started hearing voices coming closer to me. I do not know how much time passed, but I jolted up, grabbed my mom, woke her up. That was the last time I slept in that room. A few more things happened in the house, but nothing as intense as that. I'd like to move on to the things that happened. We moved back to San Diego at my grandfather's father's mother's house. This house is older, not sure how old, but it's been here a while. Before the remodeling of the house, family and non-family members all said they would see a naked woman wandering around the house. I never saw anything, heard anything, until the other eight people we were living with left. Yes, we three lived with eight other people, two other adults, three under the age of 10, three over the age of 10, but some snake bullshit family drama happened, and we got the house. Anyways, the very first night, they left my parents, and we were coming home. As my dad put the key in the lock and I heard the little girls like scream laughing, my dad froze and looked at me. We laughed it off and went in. We're crazy, I know. My room is one of the last down the hall. There are another room right next to mine whose door is adjacent to the kitchen. Mine is no, but I would hear chairs dragging, cabinets opening, and plates moving. So did my parents. Fast forward a few years, my mother and I go out to see her family in Sinaloa. We're just visiting a bunch of places, and long, boring story short, we came across a pack of dogs, or solos, even easier, Mexican hairless. I pictured Dante from the movie Coco. To shed some light on these dogs, they are thought to be some of the most ancient dogs. The Aztecs had them and used them as guides to the underworld, or the guide the deceased to the afterlife, and also as a delicacy. Frida Kahlo had them. There was one small, pathetic, on the edge of death puppy the pack would leave him behind, so I scooped him up, put him in my bag, and brought him back with us. Some articles I've read about these dogs say that they are overly sensitive animals and will attach to one person in the household, and that was me since the first week he was glued to my side. So my parents would go out to dinner or something. He would be fine sitting on the couch with me. And all of a sudden, he would stand on top of me, growl towards the kitchen so naturally. I'd pull up Snapchat and use the face filters. And the bastard detected a face in the direction he was growling. I'd keep my phone in it until it disappeared. And a few seconds later, he would calm down. But still on my legs. He's a good 55 pounds at this point already. One of the scariest nights we've had together was before my mom blessed the house due to some other crazy things happening. So I was asleep in my room, and he was on his dog bed at the foot of my bed. Sometimes I'm a light sleeper, which so happened to be this night. I heard my locked door handle kind of move a bit, then I heard him move in his bed, then I heard the one floorboard in my room that snaps only when you step on it. Snap, and immediately, that's the dog. Swiftly jumps to the edge of the bed and starts deep growling at the spot on my floor I heard the creak from. I looked at my phone. 3 freaking o'clock. He sat there growling for a few minutes. I heard the board creak again, and he followed something to my door with his head, and then came down and laid with me the rest of the night. Sorry, this is a little long, but I have plenty more incidents involving Chap and things that have happened in this house. And my mother, after family members having passed, if you'd like me to write those in. Love to hear your thoughts, especially if you guys think animals are maybe more sensitive and receptive than humans. I love what you guys do, providing such an interesting platform where people do not feel crazy. I especially love Harper on the show, providing her insight. I'll try to include a picture of Chapo. Thank you. I hope to hear this on the podcast.
That's one of the reasons I love dogs.
Why is that?
Because they're just so caring, and they just want to protect who they latch onto.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cute.
It's a genuine friendship, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, I got Sting back here with me, laying behind me right now. Our golden retriever. He kind of blends in with the carpet.
He's such a good dog.
No, he's so loving. And I had him out here with me this morning when I was working on some stuff, and he just came over and just stuck his head right next to my my chair here and was just like, hi. Of course, you talked to him for a while, but no, there's a sense there that they have something we don't have, and it's, you know, and it's so giving with them. They almost assume that we have the same sense, but they're just kind of to want to be in the same conversation, almost going, you see that? I see this. We got it. If not, wake up. You got to see this. Got to see what's going on.
It's like the dog's version of the sixth sense.
It is. And that's the thing where the dogs seem to have that sense, but it's not like a unusual sense to them. It's just as prominent as
like the smell.
Yeah.
Like the smell sense.
Exactly. It's just as prominent as any of that. Let's go to a phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I recently started listening to your podcast, and I really enjoy it. I listen, you know, every time you guys put up a new episode. I appreciate all the hard work you guys do. And I've been debating whether or not I want to call in and share my story, but I've never done anything like this before, but I would like to. Basically, it's not a scary story. It's a little bit of a sweet story, but when I was younger, I had a cat that I was very close with. And this cat would sleep with me every single night. Like, we were inseparable. She would go everywhere in the house that I went. She was basically my baby. And every night this cat would sleep with me, and she'd sleep either next to me or she would sleep above my head. Of course, she got older, and unfortunately, she passed away. And this is about the time that I moved away from my home to go to college. And, you know, it was sad for me. It was hard to get used to because I got so used to that cat sleeping with me every single night and sleeping above my head. You know, I would hear her purring and just feel her warmth. And so not having that anymore and knowing she was gone forever was really heartbreaking. But about a year and a half later, it was the summer of my junior year of college. I hadn't been home much. I hadn't seen my family because I was just going with school, and I'd gotten an internship at a big company. And so I didn't even get to go home for the summer. I went straight from college to this internship. And I was in an apartment in the city, and I was having a rough time. My coworkers in the internship and I really didn't get along. I was far away from my family. I hadn't seen my family. I was having a really rough time. And my cat had been gone for a while, and to be honest with you, I wasn't even thinking about her. And then one night in the middle of the summer after a really rough day, it was about 1 or 2 in the morning, I was sound asleep. But I distinctly remember waking up, you know, it was half asleep. I was woken up by something. It was at that point where you're awake, but you're not. You're conscious of where you are and the environment, but you're not really conscious of what's going on. And I just remember at the foot of my bed feeling something jump up onto the bed and walk along my back. And then I could feel the pressure on the bed. You know, I could feel the footsteps. I could feel the pressure change, and not paying much mind to it because it was a feeling I had been used to years ago. And then I felt something get on my pillow and lay down on my pillow. And I felt the pressure and the warmth wrap around my head. And I heard a purring noise. My cat, she would always purr when she laid above my head. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. I went back to sleep for a second, and then I flew up because I'm like, wait, that's not right. And I turn on the light, and I'm ripping the room apart because my cat, I was like, that was my cat. Where was she? What's going on? And so, you know, I had that experience where she came back, and, you know, I think it was her way of saying, hey, I'm still here with you. I know you're having a rough time, but everything's okay, and I'm looking out for you. I'm still with you. And, you know, at first I was a little scared, and it freaked me out. But then I was reassured the more I thought about it. I was like, wow, she's still here. She's still with me. And that's the only time that's happened. But, I mean, it made me feel so much better knowing that she was okay and knowing that she was here with me. And just having that experience of feeling that pressure on the bed and feeling that pressure on my pillow and hearing that familiar sound that I hadn't heard in a year and a half or so. So, you know, it was a really neat experience, but I'm glad I had it. And I share it whenever I can. So I know that's not the most exciting story, But, you know, I hope it makes it onto the show. If not, no big deal. But either way, I love the work you guys do. Thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing more episodes. You guys have a good night.
I'm also a cat person.
Yeah.
I'm a dog and cat person. They're just both so sweet.
Let me ask you this, Harp, because I've talked about this on the show. And I'm not going to put a lot of context to it because I want to hear your response without the context. The cat at my mom and dad's house in the room you stay in. Your thoughts?
It's a cat. It's a cat that's just... It's probably... Next time I go, there's probably going to do what the cat did to you. And just like curl up at the edge of the bed. Because I always thought that was Livy's foot.
You'd feel it.
Yeah.
There is no cat at my mom's and dad's house.
I know. The cat's dead.
Yeah. And that's what I was going for. You feel it, don't you?
At first, I always thought it was Livy's foot.
Yeah. I had a cat when I was little, and its name was Kitty. And this cat died when I was about 8, right around your age. And great cat, just always would jump, sleep at the end of the bed. And you know that feeling of the cat at the end of the bed. And after she died, we got another cat. But that cat did not want anything to do with me, never slept on the bed, never came into my room, period.
Was that Bubbles?
No, that was Murphy. You never met Murphy. Murphy was between a lifetime and yours.
Wait, no, not Bubbles. Scruff.
Scruff. You met Scruff. I had Scruffles after Murphy. But Murphy died a couple years before you were born. And Murphy was about 17 years old when she died. But Murphy hated me. But Kitty loved me, and she would sleep at the end of the bed. And so the whole time I was growing up in that house, every morning I would feel, in going to bed at night as well, I'd feel that pressure at the end of the bed and those paws going back and forth, relaxing down. And I always just, I never thought anything paranormal of it. And I don't know why I didn't think anything paranormal of it, because there was no cat that was doing that. I don't know if my mind, I thought, well, maybe Murphy was doing it and just running away real quick. Although I know that the cat did not do that, but that cat is still there. And when you told me that a couple years ago that you felt that cat doing that, that's what was really, really interesting to me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi there, everybody. My name's Olivia. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. And I'm calling with a little bit of a weird story I had happen to me about a month ago. I just discovered your podcast also about a month ago, and it's been great. So thanks for what you're doing. Keep on doing it. Anyways, I work as a horse trainer in Oregon and Washington areas. And so I go to a bunch of different clients, kind of all over the state. And I work with their horses and all that fun stuff. Been doing it since I was a kid, but this is what I do professionally now after graduating college in a pandemic and not having access to any other jobs. But anyway, the story. So I was at this one small facility out in Washington, in Washougal, Washington, and it's pretty hidden in the woods. It's got a long driveway. It's really down there, and it's kind of creepy if you're out there, especially at night. It's just a classic kind of farmhouse in a country area. But I was coming out of the barn, and directly in front is a huge expanse of forest, of the woods. And I was coming out, and this was like 6-7 in the morning. And I was coming out, and all of a sudden from the woods I hear a hello, and it sounds like a children's voice. Very clear, night and day, children's voice. But the owners of the house, the children were both at work. I mean, the children were at school, and the parents were both at work. So it was weird. There wasn't supposed to be anybody there or any voices. So I kind of shrugged it off, thought, oh, maybe it's just a bird, whatever. So I kind of walked closer, and I kind of look around, and it does it again. It says, hello, and it's a perfect children's voice. It just sounds so I'm worried that there's a kid in the woods. So I kind of go in the woods and peek in there and I say hello back, and it answers back. It says hello, like we're having a conversation. And I'm freaking out at this point because I'm in the middle of nowhere in the woods. You know, nobody's home. The horses are all kind of freaking out. They're not, they know something's up. And so do the cows, and you know, how animals just know things before people do. But I ask it hello again, and it just answers it back. And I, you know, I say, like, do you need help? And it just keeps saying hello, just shouting at me. And so I go back into the barn, and I kind of have this feeling because I remembered learning about skinwalkers and how they like to mimic voices to lure you in. So I kind of panicked. and I kept going closer, you know, probably a stupid thing to do, but eventually I heard it kind of further in the distance, like it had moved on to the neighbors or something, because maybe it realized it couldn't get me. I don't know. But it moved on to the neighbors, and it just kept saying hello, and it just kept getting fainter and fainter, and it kept happening for, I don't know, maybe half an hour kind of off and on, and it just got farther and farther away. So, that was really strange. I don't know what your guys' advice is, but I'm pretty sure it was a skinwalker. It definitely wasn't a kid. Don't worry, I checked everywhere. But it was a little frightening. But anyways, I have a few more horror stories from my work. But I just wanted to call that one in because it's freshest in my memory and it was really weird. So anyways, hope that wasn't too long-winded. I'm at work right now. I got two baby horses playing that are being chaotic, so sorry if I seem a little distracted, but I just wanted to call it. Thanks so much, guys, and hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye.
First of all, what is a skinwalker?
A skinwalker is one of those things where it's almost kind of, let me find the exact definition for you, okay? So I'm not giving you kind of my half-assed definition. Skinwalker.
Just because it just sounds scary.
As in Navajo culture, which is a Native American culture, a skinwalker is a type of harmful witch who has the ability to turn into, possess, or disguise themselves as an animal. The term is never used for healers. So it's something that kind of takes on the form of an animal, but it's something that's not the animal. It's something different than that. Negative, positive, I don't know. I think a lot of times it's usually used in a kind of negative term, or scary, or I don't know. I don't know why, honestly, because you'd think sometimes, well, could this be positive? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in some cases it is positive. Animals associated with witchcraft usually include tricksters such as the coyote. However, it may include other creatures. Usually there's associated with death or bad omens. They might also possess living animals or people and walk around in their bodies by locking eyes with them. Skinwalkers may be male or female. That's according to Wikipedia.
Second of all, I thought this little part of a story was kind of funny. Because, as you said, I heard a little kid's voice. It must be a bird.
Mm-hmm.
It must be a bird.
And that's the thing. Birds are confusing very often because I hear birds all the time when I'm walking out back out here. I'm like, well, there's many times, quite honestly, Harper, I think I hear you. I'm like, Harper's not outside. Like, what is that? I'll hear like some sort of like a call, just like a yelp or something. I'm like, and I'll look around. I'm like, And I'll check the cameras. I'm like, no, Harp's up in her room. And, but sometimes birds make very humanistic type sounds.
Like sometimes birds might say hello.
There are types of birds, yes, that can do that. There are many birds that can completely emulate human voices 100%. Mockingbirds, which do fly wild, even around here. Have you ever heard a bird? And this is kind of interesting because, and I know a lot of our audience is well aware of this, but this is our weekend episode where we talk about some stuff with the kids. Have you ever heard a bird, or have you ever heard what sounded like a car alarm? Like, you know, like when somebody like hits a car and the beeping starts going, or the wee, 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 all those alarms go off.
Yeah. I've heard a car alarm.
Have you heard a bird doing that?
No.
There's birds that do that.
find me after we get done with this episode. You're gonna have to find me a video of that.
I will. And birds used to do that, because that was a very common thing. And mockingbirds would do that. Mockingbirds will hear whatever they're hearing, and they'll repeat it. And they would repeat these sounds of these car alarms. Now, car alarms are not super common anymore. But what is common now is that little chirp that you hear. Now, I mean, my car, my horn beeps when I lock it. But you know that little chirp that some cars make, that or whatever?
Yep.
I've heard birds around here do that, where I will be walking out back in the pasture, and hear that. And it's like, there's no car around here. And it's a bird. And it's making the sound of a car being locked. But that's what they do. They're such an interesting species of animals. And they are, they're so smart. They're like little flying dinosaurs. And just scary how intelligent they can be.
What's next? A shape-shifting bird?
Well, that has been stories too. And you're going to get a lot of people going, Harper's only 8. What's next? A shape-shifting bird? Quote, unquote. Yes, Harper is only 8. And she's the co-host of our weekend episodes, and she's very quickly moving into the regular episodes. And eventually she will take my job. Because that's what she does.
Yeah. A very quick learner.
I couldn't be prouder of my little redheaded devil over there. I love you. Let's do one more call. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony, and the rest of the Real Ghost Stories Online fam. My name is Wendy, and I've been listening for a while. I'm a first-time caller. I've been an EPP for a few months, and listening to the episode today about trains inspired me to call and tell you this story that I've been meaning to tell for a while. So when you and Carol were both talking about hearing trains going by your house in the middle of the night, and you know, various places you lived, I totally related to that. I grew up in Los Angeles, in this sort of little unincorporated area, kind of tucked in near Playa del Rey, and behind my house, not right behind my house, but across a major street, but close, there was a train tracks, right? And so, when I was a kid, most nights I would go to bed, I'd be laying in bed, and I would hear the train go by. And I loved it. I always found it really, really comforting, just like kind of you said, that rumble of the train going by, and I found it really comforting. So it was just something that, like, a really happy memory that I've always associated with my childhood. Well, we moved out of that house, years ago, when I was around 18, and several years after that, I just was talking to my dad about something. I don't remember the context, but I happened to mention, yeah, I remember I always loved hearing the train go by the house when I was a kid. And he just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the train, the train tracks on Jefferson, on the other side of Jefferson. And he just looked at me and said, no, those tracks were decommissioned long before we ever moved into that house. Okay, so that, I guess, is an indication that there must have been some sort of ghost train thing going on. The other thing that kind of relates to that is one of the other things we did when we lived there is a lot of times my dad and I, and sometimes my little sister, we would go walking together at night. And one of the places we walked was along the train tracks. And now I kind of like to think that probably my dad wouldn't have taken us walking on active train tracks. I don't know. He was kind of a weirdo, so he might have. But anyway, that is my ghost train story. It's something, even now, it kind of just makes me happy. I kind of wish I'd tried to look out the window. I don't think I could have seen anything because of the fences and stuff, and there's a house behind us. But, it's definitely a happy memory for me. So I thought I would tell that story. Thanks again. Thanks for everything. I love your show, and I hope that you'll be able to use this story. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's fun because, like, the first instinct that I have whenever I hear, like, the train noise, I would go outside onto the porch and wave at the train.
You used to do that because we had a train track that was in our backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun. You go up to your little porch and wave, and they'd honk or do their horn and all that. But we have walked in an active train track once too. Remember that? that wasn't the best of ideas.
Wasn't exactly my idea either.
But we walked it a little ways and then got off of it really quick. And the whole way I was like, where do we get off? Where do we jump? Where do we jump? Where do we jump? Where do we jump? And I had escape plans the whole way. So it really wasn't, it really wasn't too threatening. We could have gotten off if we needed to, but I've always loved train tracks. Even when I was a little kid, my mom used to go collect flowers on a train track, a specific one, an old railway in Wisconsin. And she'd get all these wild flowers and then she'd make bouquets and sell them. And then while she was collecting the flowers, I would go walk down the train track. And I'd just wander down this track like half a mile down. And there'd be all these bizarre things down this train track. There'd be like old TV sets, old refrigerators, couches, all these things. And I'd be like, how did someone drag all these super heavy objects a half mile down this train track?
Because I didn't drag the ghost. I'm not sure if... I think I was too far away from my mic for anyone to hear that. So yeah. Let me just repeat that.
Yeah.
So I said, because the people don't drag, the ghosts do.
And that may be the case. I mean, it was just weird. I would be so fascinated by what I would find out. And I am still fascinated by this. There are places where you go out into nature and you find old remains of things. And you and me have done this. There was, do you remember the old town in Branson or just outside of Branson?
Where you got that arrowhead?
Yes.
That mom wouldn't let you take home?
Yes, that was, yeah, I could not take it home. I was banned from doing that, yeah.
I was really hoping you could, though.
It was the first arrowhead I ever found, and I was forbidden from taking it home.
It was fun.
We need to go back and find that arrowhead.
Yeah, fun story. Back at the old house, you know how there was, like, this lake, but not even, like, but, like, this field, and I said that it's probably, like, in burial ground?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found arrowheads there.
Yeah.
I found arrowheads there, and I put them in my play set.
You did?
I did.
Oh, my God.
just, like, below that little, below that almost, like, hatch that was at my play set.
Yeah.
So I never took them out.
You just never told anybody.
I never told anybody, but they are still there.
Well, there we go. Harper confessions here on Real Ghost Stories Online of finding arrowheads and not telling anyone, so no one will take them away from her.
I never put them back. They are still on that playset. I guarantee
it. It's a cursed playset now.
Yeah.
But no, that area, that little place that we used to go to, had a train track by it. And it, there was like a whole depot and the depot's gone. But this place that we used to go to had a church, which was a post office. But it looked like a church still. It had like kind of the windows just in the middle of the woods. And I've talked about this many times on the show, but the pictures are up. If you go through our social media of Real Ghost Stories Online, either on Facebook or Instagram, you scroll back enough, you will find pictures of these places. But they are so neat. It was such a neat place to go visit out of just in the middle of nowhere. And I love places like that. And I so wish I would have been able to keep those arrowheads. If we ever go back there, we're going to find the damn arrowheads.
Yes, and we are going to take them home. We are going to take them home.
Exactly.
We are going to go back to that place. We are going to find shitloads of arrowheads. And we are going to take them
okay.
home.
It's the kid-friendly version, Harper. So let's watch our language a little bit.
I'm sorry, people. Can you please bleep that?
No, I can't. But
why not?
Why? Sure, I'll bleep it. Why not? Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We greatly appreciate you guys' support and allowing us to do this program every single week. For Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.